The hardest things to remove are mouse clicks and keyboard clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Skippable Cutscenes. Can I have everyone introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Marissa. I'm playing Vera, a human bard.
I am Zombie Cleo, and I am playing Gilliard Took, a half-orc druid. I forgot for a second there, but yes, definitely a druid.
I'm Will, and I'm Sick, and I'm playing Step the Golem.
My name is Lisa. I play a... what is it? Tiefling Dragonborn Sorcerer named Judgment.
In our last episode, the party returned to the town of Corrin after fetching Black Lace Root, a curative needed to heal people wounded during the Possum Pirate Raid. You are all in the main room of the Port Casha Trading Post. The building only fits Step at all because there is a gap in the center of the mezzanine floor above you. Standing in front of you is Captain Sweet, a tall human woman with olive skin, dark hair, wearing some well-made, utilitarian-looking armor. She seems to be in charge of operations for the Port Casha Trading Company in this region. She says, I may have more work for you. The Possum Pirate Band that attacked here normally operates a ways to the west, near the island of Rubena. We've received reports that there is some additional pirate activity near that area that has pushed out some of the less organized pirate bands. We're worried that there's a new threat on the rise, and due to its location, we can't go there in force due to political constraints. She sort of sighs as she says this, and then immediately the doors swing open, and bursting through the doorway is an elven woman with long platinum hair tied up into that dumpling style hair. There's a name for it in Japanese, but you know what I mean.
No.
That dumpling hairstyle. She's ostentatious.
Those are buns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Sailor Moon almost, where you get the buns and the hair keeps going on past. Only her hair is even more platinum. She's ostentatiously dressed in a white gown with black color blocking triangles along her side with like ornate silver details going through the gown. She has a gray and white rat sitting on her shoulder. Vera and Step, you immediately recognize this as Ambassador Amadel. And she just says, "Let me see the thing." And she says and she puts her hands in a circle.
I just kind of stare at her for a moment.
The thing.
The thing.
The
thing. The, we know the thing. Like, yeah, the
woven thing. The wicker thing.
Why do you want to see that?
Why are you teasing her? Do you want it?
Because she's being so rude. She just burst in here and demanded to see my thing.
You mean that doesn't happen to you on a regular basis?
She actively blushes at that statement, actually.
I will remove the wicker dealy bobber and show it to her.
All right, you hand her the piece of wicker art. It's circular. It's about a foot across, and it's intricately woven in a sort of spiral pattern.
So it's like a dream catcher.
And she...
It sounds like it's like...
It doesn't have any gaps in it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like a plate almost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the size of a plate, only it's made of wicker, and it has a main spiral, and then it's woven together with different colors to sort of keep it flat.
So basically it's fancy like a CD. Bread basket.
Well, I was thinking it's like a CD or a record or something where it's got the pattern on it means something.
I'm going to stick to bread basket.
Wow. I am hungry.
I mean, we've traveled for a while.
Roll to save against starvation.
Wait, how?
I pass you a good berry as soon as you say you're hungry.
It's a taco save.
Taco save.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
You got those mushrooms.
I do. I have not forgotten about the mushrooms yet. Those are definitely on my mind. So what is this thing?
Well, we've seen these before, and there's something going on in the western part of the Sea of Lenses. Whatever it is, it makes these. And she sort of runs her finger along it while tracing. We think they work like scrolls. These arcs here are similar to the arcane symbols for transmutation. And she looks more closely. This one appears to be similar to the awaken spell, but it's far more powerful and seems to have... it seems to have some latent darkness in it. We think that whatever some, we think that whenever some kind of trigger happens, it will fully activate, and it draws a lot of energy when it's first used, but it also accumulates more over time, drawing from the like land and wildlife around it. At first we thought this was, well, their fault. And she points over to Captain Sweet, who calmly raises an eyebrow. And then she turns back to you and says, but that doesn't make sense. Whatever this does, it's been used, and we haven't figured out a way to
uproot
this spell.
You haven't figured what now?
We haven't figured out a way to uproot this spell.
But really disappointed whatever, it's already been used, though, because an unused spell scroll could have been worth something.
Gilly's going to give you a very, very dark look at that.
Anyway, we also know
don't
that
mess around with the awaken spell.
We also know that whatever fully triggers this hasn't occurred yet. And you hear a throat clearing from Captain Sweet. She goes, Ambassador Amadel, and she's glaring at her. And Amadel shrinks a bit and says, I should go. She hands you back. She hands Vera back the wicker art and steps outside as noisily as she entered.
Well, at least it's pretty. Even if it's not worth the money.
Captain Sweet approaches you and says, anyway, this sounds like it might be more involved than I first imagined. I would like information on whatever this new threat or these new threats might be. While you're on this task, you will receive a stipend of 50 gold pieces per week and have access to one of our more covert ships. She checks her notes. Lebkuchen? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Lebkuchen.
Lebkuchen. I'm sure the crew will correct you. It's currently listed as being owned by the OTP Shipping Company, which you can claim you are unless you want me to change the name on the registry.
No, we'll keep that, I think.
Okay.
These two need to stop flirting with each other on our watch.
The One True Pairing Shipping Company.
What?
Oh, come on, people!
I know nothing about this reference.
All right, let's explain it. I'm going to delete this part, but let's explain it to Lisa.
Don't delete it. Keep this in.
Do you know what? If you ship two characters together.
What?
If you ship two characters together. So, for example, I'm just trying to think of a reference. I'm sorry, what?
Fair and Mercy.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
From Overwatch.
Oh my gosh.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Wow.
They're the lesbian sky angels.
That's great. Still doesn't mean anything to me. Okay. All right. If you ship those together and you don't believe that they should be apart, they are your one true pairing. You can't ship them with anyone else.
Spock, Kirk, Slashwick.
Yes, there you go.
Ship,
I understood that reference.
Ship where?
Relationship. Like.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
shipping.
Short for like relationship.
Okay.
Is that why it's the one true pairing shipping company?
Yes.
Yes.
I still don't get it.
I got it.
In universe,
I got it.
In universe, it's supposedly the onion, turmeric, and potato shipping company.
The joke is lost on me, but I don't think it matters.
Shipping is just basically, I think these people should be together so badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These characters in a thing.
Yeah. Have you ever watched like a soap opera or whatever? And there are two people who they always like nearly have a relationship.
Do I strike you as the soap opera type of woman?
Do you remember when Dylan dumped Brenda for Kelly? I'm still mad about that shit.
Wait, who? What?
Oh my god, do you remember Friends?
Who? What?
Shit, you guys are just
nobody shipped Ross and Rachel. Nobody shipped
Ross
them.
Ross and Rachel,
oh
I know them. They
nobody
were
shipped Ross and Rachel.
A break.
I want
yeah,
to ship Ross
shit.
To like
Chandler and Jerry are the OTP.
No, they were obnoxious and not fitting together at all.
Chandler and Joey?
Chandler and Joey. Okay, that's a more
Chandler and Joey, yes. They should
that's
be
a,
together.
That's a much yeah. I don't want to ship Ross with anybody other than shipping him to
Paleontology.
Ross is the world's worst human being. He is a complete.
He is
dick.
The person that brought the only non-white character into the series. So give him a break.
Well, who we proceeded to dump. Endlessly. He's got such a fragile male ego that he couldn't let his son play with a Barbie doll. He had to basically force him to want a G.I. Joe. He's scum.
All right, this has been Friends Cast.
Sorry.
Join us next week when we talk about alternative endings to Friends.
They all die and everything's better.
Yeah, they wake up, it's all in a snow globe.
Ross gets arrested for having an exotic pet and then goes to prison for life.
Yeah, my favorite one is it's all in Monica's coma-induced fantasy.
It turns into the Gunther show.
Yeah, oh God.
Diabetic coma-induced fantasy, if you want to be real.
Okay, so that's what shipping is. And
okay. So you...
Yes. I get it now. Ish.
Okay. Fuck you, Dylan. Anyway, so again, you're still in the Port Cashel Trading Company Trading Post. Captain Sweet is with you. There are some clerks, including Brock, who are in the building with you.
Who's Brock?
I don't think they knew who Brock is, but
yeah, I don't know who Brock is.
He's a clerk.
Brock is technically...
Wasn't he like a port laborer?
Whatever. He's a dude.
Yeah. He's a dude. Nicely specific.
Wasn't he just like
he's a dude.
One of the sailors or a port laborer or something? Pork? No, port. Port.
Pork laborer?
No, pork laborer. He's a pork laborer. He labors on that pork. Oh, yes.
He's a ground tide gym leader. Wow.
Okay, so the one who was eating the crackers and the pink slime was Ryan. He is a local clerk employee. Brock is sort of Captain Sweet's secretary.
I can't believe I remember that.
He made an impression.
Okay, so
he's his girl Friday. Yeah,
I think I named him so.
You actually did name him.
Ryan sure does love his pink slime.
Yeah, Ryan's just over there eating it with a spoon.
What is that? Oh, that's the berry. That's the green berry jelly, right?
It's the hibiscus ginger green berry jam.
Sounds pretty good, jelly. Actually.
I kind of want to make it now.
In any case,
oh gosh,
I actually have most of the ingredients to make it.
So we have a ship.
Okay. She offered 50 gold pieces per week to be paid per week and access to the
Lebkuchen.
Lebkuchen.
I'm going to call it the Lebkuchen.
We're going to call it the love cookie. Let's be honest.
Oh, that's good.
The love cookie.
Let's go with love cookie.
You're
going to call it the love cookie.
It is the love cookie.
So.
And she would. And this is for information on either these round wicker things and or why these possum pirates are in the area.
And so our leads are to go to the Isle of Rubenna.
Yes.
And have we heard about any other activity? Pirate activity, pirate, you know, what other kind of leads do we have other than there's something happening somewhere and there are things?
Are you asking this to Captain Sweet?
Yes. Let's ask that to Captain Sweet.
Okay.
I don't have a character voice, so.
She scratches her head and goes, I mean, there's a lot of information crosses my desk. This is the only thing that's particularly out of the ordinary.
Is there a map of, like, some of the nearby islands that are kind of on the way to Rubenna?
Sure. She goes to the because you're in what is essentially a storefront. She actually goes to the shelf and just basically picks a map off of it and just hands it to you. And it's a professional map of the Sea of Lenses.
Free map.
They also have these on the ship.
So I'd like to stop for a moment and discuss this payment, because you're saying 50 gold pieces per person per week. But I would like to see a little bit more. So more like 60.
She looks at everybody and scratches her head and says, all right.
60? Okay, that sounds pretty good.
I'm going to look higher at you and just go think, that
I could have.
All right means that you could have gone higher.
Go ahead. And just as a reminder to everyone, this mission would last about, 6 weeks?
I think 6 weeks is six. I'm not expecting any news for the first 6 weeks. Brock will join you and he will pay you at the end of the week, starting with one set to start.
So the first question is how far away? I mean, how far away is the island of Rubenna?
Rubenna in the Lubkuchen.
The love cookie.
Be about. She just pauses and keeps going. Pauses for a second and keeps going. Would be about 3 to 5 days, depending on weather and wind conditions.
Okay, so that's a minimum of, like, if it's a good time, you know, just the travel time.
In and out.
If you're in and out, I wouldn't expect to hear from you for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
But let's face it, it's not going to be in and out.
So Rubenna is actually pretty close, even in a fairly speedy boat. This is pretty close by.
Yeah. Are you looking at the map that you have of the Sea of Lenses?
I have a map in front of me.
Okay. When you fold up in the map, in the upper right of the map is an island, the largest island in the Sea of Lenses, called Arvena, which Gilly is quite familiar with. If you're looking for scale, it's probably the size of like Sicily or Sardinia.
I have no idea how big those are, so let's keep going.
Sicily is what Italy's boot is kicking.
Okay, keep going.
Anyway, don't tell anyone from Sicily I said that. There are two arcs of dots of islands, one of which, there's also an island in the lower left. This is called Varding.
Varding.
It is about the same size. It's slightly smaller than Arvena. These are the two big islands. And there are about two lines drawing from, or like arcing up and over to the one island, and then up bottom, and from the bottom up. So it creates what looks like a lens shape.
Okay. Oh, that's why it's called the Sea of Lenses.
That's why it's called the Sea of Lenses, because there's a big line of islands on the top part and a big line of islands on the bottom, and it's slightly oval shaped. So it's called the Sea of Lenses.
Okay.
Corin, we are currently on, is very close to Arvena. It's like the, it's
how do you
the,
spell Corin?
C-O-R-I-N. Actually, Corina is the name of the island. Corin's the town.
Okay. Corina.
Yeah.
Okay.
This island is very close to Arvena in the upper right. I always mentally flip east and west in my brain, so I will say left and right a lot here.
That's fine.
Rubenna is closer to Varding. It is maybe 2/3 of the way on the top part of the arc. And you notice that on the map, there seem to be wind and water current markings. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it does a counterclockwise circle on the interior of the islands. So for the most part, it's actually easier to travel a complete circle to get back to Corina if you were to come back instead of heading back the way you came.
Okay.
So travel from Corina to Rubenna is about 3 to 5 days, but the travel back is probably closer to 10.
Okay.
And there are maybe 8 islands that seem to have names on them, mm-hmm, worthy of the map, but there's a lot of little tiny islands scattered as well.
Okay.
The actual interior seems to be entirely devoid of islands.
Okay. My main reason for looking or for asking, actually, would we know if there's a reason for that? Is there like a phenomenon that
is there a crater at the center of this? Roll an intelligence check.
Sure. No. 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 No.
As far as you're aware, you have no idea why it's the way it is.
Yeah, that's a 2 on the die.
It doesn't seem unreasonable for there to not be. I mean, it's just like 2 Hawaii-style stretch archipelago thingies that seem to be going in opposite directions around a center point.
Okay. Yeah, you never know. It's all fantasy.
As much as you don't know what Sicily is, I don't know what a Hawaiian style whatever is.
At all.
I mean, I know what Sicily is, but I have no mental image for the size of it in my head, right?
All right. Anyway, so you think it'll be 3 to 5 days to get to Ravenna?
Okay.
All right. The ship will leave in... Well, as soon as you're ready.
Run! But, 5 seconds. To... Go.
The ship's leaving now. Get to the docks.
Get to
I mean, first things first. So I pour out the contract from the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And offer it to Captain Sweets.
Yeah, Captain Sweet immediately stamps it.
Oh, yes. Contracts. Very important.
And then I say, right?
Actually, it's engraved, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She actually pulls out a piece of paper and does a pencil rubbing of it, too.
Okay.
She's kind of fascinated by your demeanor.
Mm.
And the fact you're made of gold. I'm sure that helps.
So I put it back in my head and turn around and say, well, let's get started then, and start walking towards the docks.
You know what? Yeah, let's go ahead and go. Why not? I mean, I have an errand to run in town first, but I'll catch up with you guys.
I walk slowly. And I just
start walking really slowly. You're not going to like literally leave on the ship as soon as you get there, are you?
Watch
that
us.
That would be funny.
You certainly could, I suppose.
Presumably, Brock would not let the ship leave because he is technically the one. He is the liaison between the captain of the ship and you guys.
At which point, Gilly is just going to start asking Brock about his life and what he does. And she's got the most fascinated look on her face at everything he says. So what is it you do?
I am Captain Sweet's attaché.
And what does that mean?
Normally, I handle a lot of paperwork and various similar duties.
Oh, did you annoy Captain Sweet to get stuck with us? Silence means yes.
I don't think so.
Ah. So
he actually looks back and scratches his head a little bit. No.
It's okay. If you're we'll put in a good word for you, it'll be fine. Or maybe you'll put in a good word for us. I'm not sure how this is gonna go, but we'll see.
So I'm gonna saunter over.
All right.
She's going to put her arm around his shoulders and start leading him forwards towards the boat.
He has a very formal demeanor, and when you do that, he sort of like his shoulders tense up, and he accepts it. But he
Gilly has no concept of personal space, so she doesn't even notice.
And when it happens, he sort of responds like, "Where are you from?"
I'm from a little village called Gimblestone. It's a while away from here. You probably haven't heard of it. It's in the Honeybush Isles.
He actually lights up when you say Honeybush Isles. I've heard of that place, but I've never been there.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend it. It's awful. It's really terrible. I mean, the fog gets really thick, and you know, it's just like a small villages. You can't really do much anything there. So yeah, and then you know, you end up working in the mines for most of your life. It's awful. I wouldn't recommend it. But you
mines?
Know, it's yeah.
Are there? He actually like really leans in. What kind of material are you mining?
Like coal and stone and you know rubbish stuff. Hmm. Boring rubbish. Things. Okay. It's not got like giant gold golems or anything in it.
So I'm.
All right.
I mean, it could give you a potato. It's not particularly.
A what?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you about it later. Don't worry. There's such a thing as freeze-dried potatoes. There's nothing like the food here. It's grand. Goodberry?
he accepts the goodberry and then eats it.
I've already
and then
sauntered
we're go towards
over
the ship, I guess.
Towards the ship, and yeah.
He's already heading straight to the ship.
Standing there on the edge of the pier, like looking down a bit at the water and looking up at the ship. Could you describe the ship for me? Because that's what I'm really interested in right now.
Yes. The Lilliputian is an average-looking trading vessel with two masts made of dark woods. The figurehead is of three cherubs holding pine cones. It has two masts. It is about 50 feet long and 15 feet wide.
Wait, what? It's 50 feet long and 50 feet wide?
15 feet wide.
Oh. Okay.
Basically, you've got a raft.
I'm like, what? How much is that in non-freedom units?
It is... God damn it.
Sorry.
It is 3 meters wide.
Uh-huh.
And,
A little bit bigger, but yeah.
What?
A little bit bigger, but yeah.
Did I do that wrong?
No, you did that almost right. But 3 meters wide, meters wide is like really narrow.
Yeah, it is. Like the height of a ceiling, basically, is 3 meters.
No, okay, it is 5 meters wide.
Yeah, that's more like it.
And about 15 meters long.
That's about right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. It just amuses me. It just amuses me.
It is a fairly average sized charting vessel.
Well, that's why it's a cookie and not a cake.
Yeah.
Well, I can learn to love it, I guess. I mean, it looks, you know, sturdy enough.
Gilly strokes the boat.
It is in good upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen way worse. Actually, you have.
Do we have a crew other than Brock?
You have to, right?
Yeah, it is fully crewed. Would you like to... Brock has already sort of boarded the ship and is talking to a halfling woman.
I'm going to intrude on that conversation and listen.
He says that Captain Sweet is... They're talking loudly because it's a dock and there's a lot of noise. He's like, we have to get ready as soon as we're ready to go. Captain Sweet has already given approval. So get the ship ready to head out as soon as we're ready. And then she immediately starts barking or orders in random naval slang that I don't know anything about.
I like her already.
Yeah, she's...
So she's our captain then?
That is what you surmise.
Okay. And
I'm gonna
who
ask
else
her.
Is on our crew?
You see at least four others, but there would obviously be maybe double that total. So maybe 10 people as a crew for the ship.
Okay.
The helmsman is a tiefling. It is a male tiefling.
I'm just debating how insensitive is Gilly at that point.
Very.
Well, she might suggest, look, you're tieflings, you should get together. At which point she turns into just like a massive racist.
Yeah, that's a...
That would hurt my feelings, though.
Yeah, and you've already grown so close together.
Yeah. I mean, Gilly doesn't really understand feelings.
Yeah.
So, you know.
With his feelings.
But I expect
you should talk to
Steph
about
that.
All right, so you guys can board the ship, or we can switch to Vera doing whatever she wants to do.
No, I'm just going to introduce myself to the crew, so, you know, that can be done outside, you know, character.
I'm not there yet. I'm just slowly making my way down Main Street.
He's walking like one of those French mimes, only also made of some kind of reflective material.
Yeah.
All right, Vera, what would you like to do in the intervening time?
I want to find out what these mushrooms are. I want to go get them appraised by an apologist.
All right. There are several herbalism venues that you recall from your time around when you were wandering on the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to enter one of these?
Yeah.
Okay. You head to the market area, which is sort of just down the main street.
Mm-hmm.
You enter the first one. In there is a human male, mid-50s, sort of leaning on the front of a countertop. It smells like a spice shop in there.
I see it. It smells spicy.
He asks, what can I do for you?
I have these mushrooms, and I show him the mushrooms I picked.
All right. He looks at them really closely. Roll a D100.
Okay, I will roll.
Please be poison.
This will determine
poison.
What these are.
Poison.
88. What'd you get?
88.
Oh, damn. Okay. Shit.
It's
all right, he immediately.
Some awesome poison. Can I turn them into awesome poison?
He immediately, like, clasps your hand closed and looks around and says, stares at you. Where did you get these?
I found them.
Okay. These are very special mushrooms.
I see.
Special.
Anything
shrooms.
Over 85 was going to be very special.
Oh, I know all about special shrooms.
I'm sure you do.
If you try these, you're either going to have a very good time or a very bad time. They're not poison
per se,
but they might have some side effects. Would he do that?
Does he want to buy them? Does he know somebody?
He's not gonna. He just like takes his hand off, and the best option would be to not be caught with them.
I am going to. I want to try to persuade him into telling me who might be interested in these.
Roll a persuasion check.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who might take these off my hands if I shouldn't be caught with them? That is a 20. like 26.
Okay. He scratches his chin and goes, I mean, I'm not connected with that kind, with those kind of people.
Of course not.
But, I mean, you might be able to sell it. Any place that sells pleasure might buy them from you.
I see. Okay.
Like hookah lounges.
Hookah lounges, yeah. Yeah,
that kind of thing.
I guess I have to dry them, huh?
Yes, yeah. He kind of doesn't want to tell you, but also his just interest in mycology and herbal type stuff.
Yeah,
to dry them, just expose them to dry air as long as you can.
See, okay.
Keep them dry.
Yeah, I will dispose of them appropriately. Thank you.
All right, don't eat them. It can be quite the experience.
Well, we'll see about this. Actually, I have an idea, so... Oh, God,
I know exactly what your goddamn idea is.
No, I'm not going to, like, spike... I'm going to...
Oh, Gilly. Well, Gilly, I'm so sorry.
No.
Oh, no. Don't be sorry. Never be sorry for that.
No. Okay, thank you very much. And I will stash them in my my secret compartment of my pack.
All right. Is that all you would like to do? There are shops in town.
There's.
You get your when you looked at the map, you feel that Corin is a much larger town than Rubenna, so it will probably have more supplies in general. Possibly not because of the raid, but in general it.
Yeah, the raid kind of took away some of the stuff I would have gotten otherwise. Let's see. I'm going to buy some. I don't think I need anything, though. I think I have most of what I need for like a journey already.
All right.
Yeah, I already got rope and a flute, so what else do I need?
It's everything you need for a good trip. Rope and a flute.
I got a rope, a flute, and some mushrooms. So
it's gonna be grand.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and I'll head back to the ship.
Okay. Presumably, you walk by a very slow walking step.
Nice step. I cast Expeditious Retreat on him.
You what?
I cast Expeditious Retreat on Step.
Okay, that means he gets to move an extra.
He can, yeah.
He can dash as a bonus action, right?
Correct. Come on, let's go. Let's get to the ship.
Dashing. instead of walking.
Okay, so that means you're... That means you would be able to move 30 plus another 60. Maybe you'll move 90 feet in a turn.
Really? Yeah, I thought you moved double.
Well, you can dash as an action, but if you dash as a bonus action...
Oh, you're right, you can dash as a bonus action.
Yeah, so it would be 120. Yeah, so he just bounds.
Well, it's almost like I'm skating towards the ship on the ground. And,
yeah.
With one of
I can't do that. I forgot. Well, whatever.
Well, Heelys.
Heelys.
I realize dash is a... Actually, it's not how dash works, and it's not how Expeditious Retreat works, but it would have been funny. Like that it's like that.
Step starts healing.
It's self only.
All right, so Step comes up to the dock. You are quite confident the ship will hold your weight. It is of sufficient mass for you to not be.
I'm sure they have
a detriment to it.
Yeah, I mean if they have cargo and stuff, they need it. Yeah, should be.
But it dips down a bit when
actually
he steps
Vera.
Yeah,
with your sailor background, you would guess this could probably hold 35 tons of cargo.
Okay, and it's probably not loaded with a whole lot, so it's probably actually riding pretty high in the water.
It's about to be riding a little lower because as soon as Steph goes on, it drops an inch or two.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not carrying valuable supplies. We're carrying, whatever provisions we need for the journey, and we're trying to ride pretty quickly.
Yeah. What did you do, Judgment?
I as soon as Steph sets foot on the boat and it just dips down like that, I just embrace the mast immediately.
Okay.
Like a hold on to it in the middle of the ship, and I just
you notice this tiefling hugging a mast.
At which point, when Gilly sees that, she's not going to say anything, but she's just going to just look at her from about half a foot away.
Half a foot.
Yep, 6 inches away.
Do you lean in and like sniff her hair?
No, she's just watching her face at this point.
Well, you can certainly smell something. I'm completely stressed out.
Yeah, you smell a little bit of
sweat.
A little scorching. A little bit of sweat.
Yeah, scorching for sure, yeah. A little bit of smoke.
I do not think you want to hug the mast if you are in this state. Because the mast might set on fire and set the ship on fire. Then we'd all fall into the water.
Oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god.
Ship's not going to catch on fire in the middle of the dock. I mean, it might, but...
Ah, I beg to differ. Maybe if she lets go, it will not.
Oh, my hands are starting to smolder at this point.
See?
See
what I said?
I walk up to them both turn into a chair and say, sit on here.
Oh, yes, that's great.
Step is quite fire resistant.
I need to know where your face is at this point.
Yeah, I was... I had intentionally
What's a face?
Saying that.
Good. Okay, so I sit down on the step chair.
Okay.
Oh.
The halfling woman comes over to you, and she says, "Hi, I'm Captain Marigold, captain of the Libkhen." She says it. God. She says it in the perfect accent that would be necessary for this.
The love cookie.
The love cookie.
Yes, the love cookie. It's the love cookie.
In the employ of the OTP shipping company. Are we ready to make way?
Well, we are, but apparently our companion is having some anxieties. And maybe an orgasm, I'm not sure.
I'm sitting on Step and I'm smoldering.
Don't judge people for what gets them off.
Step comes with full vibratory.
So I calm down a little bit.
Through sheer embarrassment.
Like if the captain comes over and looks at Judgment and says, she'll be fine. And she actually goes up and boops you on your nose and then just walks away.
What?
I like her.
I just look flabbergasted and I squint, like I look cross-eyed for a moment and then kind of shake it off. Well, she booped my nose.
Yeah.
Is that a custom in these parts? The nose touching?
You've never seen it before.
I'm very curious. Basically, Gilly is just going to start trying it out on people whenever she introduces herself. It's going to be fine. She's This is what she does. She appropriates culture. It's fine.
My plan worked perfectly. Because that's exactly what I wanted to have happen. All right. She heads up onto the command deck, whatever you call that, and starts barking orders, and a bunch of sailors snap into motion. Ropes start to move and get pulled in. They undock the ship, and they start to head out to sea.
And I hold on firmly to Step.
I have a good feeling about this.
That's a great feeling about
the
this.
The rotor thing. What was it?
The vibratory functions.
Vibrating, gyrating, that. That's what we just heard.
Gilly's going to turn into a kitty and just sit on your lap for a bit.
Aww, kitty. I completely calm down and I start petting Gilly.
My plan works. Also, I get stroked. Therefore, it's fine.
Okay.
So we're all friends. Right. Where are you? Come on, guys.
We're fine over in the vibrating chair of kitty.
You guys are having your cuddle party over there.
at this point...
I'm going to introduce myself to the rest of the crew.
Okay. At this point, since he rolled an 8 on a stealth check, you notice everybody notices a gray and white rat scurrying up some rope up the mast closest to you.
I'm going to go kitty, I'm going to go follow him and then boop his nose.
As you start to climb up, Henry starts to climb faster.
I'm going to keep going.
Roll an athletics check in your cat form or acrobatics check to catch up to and boop Henry.
I think I'm going to be all right. I got a 20.
A natural 20?
A natural 20.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean...
He gets booped all right.
Henry rolls an 18, and he tries to scurry away. He slips. He falls a little bit. Aww. Right into your soft belly, and you just sort of reach around and boop him on his nose.
I'm just going to reach around and boop him on his nose and leave him alone. And then let him go.
And then he just sits there panting in...
I'm going to stroke him gently. With no claws, but just stroke him gently.
He's okay. A little weirded out by all this. He doesn't realize, that you're
a person.
You're a Gilly.
That's fine.
I want to play my flute. And okay. I...
Roll a performance check.
So I want to play my flute for Henry.
Okay.
You also.
No, I guess he's not a humanoid, so it doesn't work.
Who's Henry again?
Henry's the rat.
The rat.
Oh, right.
Actually, he's not a humanoid, so I can't charm him. I can still play my flute for him, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really high. 22.
22. He calms down in his panting panic attack, and comes over and nuzzles climbs up your back and rests on your shoulder.
I'm gonna leave him on his shoulder for now, just to keep him out of the way, and so I know what he's actually gonna be spying on.
All right.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, yeah.
Oh, this was the pet rat.
Yeah.
This is her pet rat. She's spying on us.
Yeah. He's on a mission.
He's on a mission from Bob.
She keeps sending her familiar after us, and she should be more. How do I put it?
Henry's not very stealthy.
Henry's not very stealthy, and we have a cat person.
Are you like expressing your butt flaps at everybody now? Like cats do.
My God, don't do that.
My cats have never done that.
Butt flaps? My cats don't even have butt flaps.
They're showing you their purple starfish.
Oh, no. Gilly doesn't really need to show people her ass. She does that on a regular enough basis anyway, so it's fine.
So the question is the cat wearing jorts?
I think every animal that Gilly turns into is wearing shorts.
Okay, that's canon now. All right. The crew's activity starts to die down as you truly start to hit open waters.
Let's see. I'm gonna find a nice out of the way place to dry these mushrooms.
Okay.
A nice out of the way place on a 5x15 boat.
I mean,
I could breathe some hot air
on it.
It just has to be somewhere that is fairly dry. I mean, I know it's a boat, so
it is a boat.
So there's nothing that's perfect, but somewhere drafty. I don't know. We don't have a cabin, so
you could smoke them.
You do have a cabin.
Oh, we have our own cabin.
You haven't looked around the ship.
All right, let's look around the ship.
There is a lower deck. You go into the. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's start with the lower deck. Usually the captain has a cabin, but...
Yeah, the captain's cabin exists on the sort of thing that they're standing on where the helm is. Directly beneath that seems to be the captain's cabin.
Okay. Yeah.
It may actually be the captain's cabin and then an extra wall and then like an officer's cabin. You're not entirely sure.
Okay.
It's a small trading vessel, though. How many cabins can there be?
A navigation. But if you go down, you do find that there are... There's both a fore and aft set of hammocks, and the one that has fewer of them towards the back, actually towards the front, has four hammocks, and they seem to be empty. And then standing next to it is, I didn't give them a name, a human male.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, oh, you're our guests. These are your rooms. And he just walks right past you.
Wait, what?
I like him.
you get the idea that on a ship, everyone has a job.
Yeah, I don't have a job yet, so. Okay, well, I'll find my own. Wait.
So, and in the center is where all the cargo would be.
I'm not putting with the cargo.
Yeah, but no, at the front of the ship, so it's a little weirdly shaped, but there are four hammocks.
Okay.
So you're all sleeping together, but you are separate from everybody else.
Okay. I will find a place to put these kind of with my gear.
All right.
Yeah, it's not going to be ideal, but you know what? They're my mushrooms.
Don't you have a book, maybe?
And the other two don't know. I'm not going to press them in a book.
They would dry out. A book, right?
I have a book.
That's a great way to dry them.
Who picked up the moldy book?
Oh, it's moldy. Never mind. Well, I mean, they're mushrooms.
I'm going to put them on top of the wicker thing and use that as a ventilation thingy.
That is a very reasonable thing.
There we go.
It's a bread basket.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basket. It's got some good airflow here.
Yeah, for bread. I'm just going to keep insisting it's a bread basket. I mean,
it could be a mushroom basket.
Do you mean like one of those curved rattan proofing baskets?
Yeah, sure, but flatter.
that's actually
very close to what it is. It's like one of those rattan proofing baskets, only flat, and it has like almost sewn through it a bunch of intricate patterns.
I mean, I'm from the street. Like fancy things are kind of lost on me, so it's a bread basket.
Says the lady sitting in the golden chair.
Exactly my point.
It's the what?
The forecastle.
Yes.
Forecastle.
Sure. Actually, no, I don't think the ship would have a forecastle. This is just the front part of the lower deck.
Oh, okay.
Because the forecastle would actually be a structure.
It would be above
on top
the main,
of the
deck.
Main
yeah.
deck. Yeah. No, there is no such thing on this
but
ship.
But there's an aft castle.
There is an aft castle on this ship. Okay.
All right, and I will go and start finding out who the rest of the crew is and getting kind of to know them.
Okay.
Because I want to know what's up with these people that we're going to be spending time with.
Where do you start?
We have a captain.
Okay. Do you go to the captain?
We already met her. I can't remember her name already, but...
Did you ask her name? Actually, she did. She
introduced
herself. Marigold.
Yeah.
Marigold.
Marigold. Okay. Yeah, I thought she had some kind of flower name. Well, let's first introduce ourselves to the chef. Is there a chef here?
It's so clear where your priorities are right now.
You look around and you don't think that there's a dedicated chef due to the size of the ship. No one seems to be at the cooking station right now.
That's the one you want to charm first.
I like your reasoning.
All right. Well, then we'll find. How about a navigator? Who does navigation? Is that the captain?
That is not the captain. Okay. There is a dedicated navigator on this ship. You enter the what you think might be the officer's cabin / captain's cabin area, and you enter a small room that has a map laid out on it. And sitting there is a short human male who with gray hair, a little heavy set, more like the beer belly kind of heavy set. But his arms are relatively muscular, and his legs are pretty lanky looking. I think you know the type.
Yeah,
that
yeah, I mean. I know what you mean.
This is a different human male than the one we encountered
this guy looks pretty salty in terms of sailor kind of thing. Not salty as in.
Yes, we getcha.
Yeah, and he's like he has his tongue sticking out to the side as he's looking at a map with, and he's older, early 50s maybe. It's hard to tell with sailors because they age pretty fast.
A lot of sunlight. Yeah, they don't wear enough sunscreen really.
And salt skincare on their skin and stuff. Yeah.
Skincare is not there. Yeah, those salt sprays really mess up their hair because it just sucks all the water straight out of them. And they talk about how much texture your hair gets, but it's really not that good for it. Mm-hmm. Do you introduce yourself?
Yes. I don't know why you went off on a tangent about hair care.
Well, this guy's hair is gray, and it also sort of. It's a little unkempt, sort of sticks out in semi-random directions, almost like, well, let's just say his name is Ludwig.
Okay. He's Ludwig. Navigator Ludwig.
I am Ludwig.
Is he the navigator?
That's not the right accent for Ludwig. Okay. Yeah, Navigator Ludwig. He's old and salty, and he's like, hello.
Hello. I haven't traveled much around these parts. I'm Vera. I'm part of the crew that's going to Rubenna. What sorts of places are on the way there?
Hopefully nothing. I think we can make it in one trip. If the weather turns bad, we may have to find port.
What's the weather like around these parts? Usually.
This time of year, it's usually pretty good. There is a chance for some late thunderstorms.
Let's see. Okay. I may come back to you if we find that we need to find our way to other places, so... It's nice to know you.
During this whole conversation, he was only focused on his chart, and the idle conversation was sort of a secondary process his brain was running.
He doesn't seem very interesting to me, so I'm going to excuse myself.
Only guy with a name, and he is not interesting to you.
He's not. What am I going to get out of this guy?
Well, I mean, you have a map. He has a map.
I do have a map, but he has a better map. But... I don't have anywhere to go on the map is the problem. So until there's a place to go, it doesn't really do anything for me. Do we have any armaments on this ship?
Roll an investigation check.
Really?
No.
I should be able to see cannons and things, right?
There are no cannon on this ship.
Okay.
You do see that there are some heavy crossbows laid by the side of various spots and a single, like, ballista towards the front of the ship.
Does the crew wear, like, short swords or daggers or whatever?
Yeah, they seem to be... When they are on duty, they seem to have a dagger or two or knives necessary to cut ropes or cut someone out of ropes, that kind of thing.
So how do they defend themselves? I mean, this is a trading ship, and apparently there's, like, some pirates about, because
You get the idea that when a ship is sighted, everyone will be called up, and then they would pick up the armaments that are throughout the ship. And then, I mean, something's not going to, for the most part, immediately show up. There's usually going to be some kind of notice.
Right. You're a warlock, right?
No, I'm a sorcerer.
She's a sorcerer.
Sorcerer, okay. I get this confused. Okay. In other words, you're the one who's going to be throwing fireballs at the enemy ship, so... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So either that or vomit.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that you are our best line of defense here.
Do you feel that Judgment would get seasick?
Oh, she's already seasick. Okay. Like,
roll a constitution check.
Oh, boy.
Constitution save.
A constitution save, even. 16.
Okay. You shrug off any effects that you would worry about from...
I burp a little bit.
Yeah, you have that burp that smells, that you can taste the vomit, but you know it's not there. Ugh.
Right. So I gag a little, basically.
Do you know what really helps? Oh, never mind.
Actually, one of the crew...
No, someone comes down from the top of the forecastle where next to the helmsman, walks down, looks at you. He's a male with a tan skin male with relatively shortly cut hair. It's black hair, but it's maybe half a centimeter long.
Human?
He is human, yeah. He says, "Hi, you seem to be getting seasick. If you try some of the pink jelly we have in our cabinet, the ginger in that can help alleviate some symptoms of seasickness."
So I run to the side of the ship and just hurl at the thought of the pink jelly.
Gilly is very upset because she's been dislodged from a very warm, comfortable place. I don't know if it'll help. Yeah, thanks for the demonstration. Gilly will probably try a Balm of the Summer Court on her.
You would need to decatify, right?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I mean, it's hit points, really, but it's mostly to just chill her the fuck out. So... yeah, thanks. It's been a nice dice half. Hang on a second.
As her food chunks come out, you like druidcraft plants out of the chunks. That would be something.
Okay, so
I'm helping.
Four. She regains 4 hit points and 1 temporary hit point per dice, which is 1. So she also gains a temporary hit point. So right.
you have 1. Judgment has 1 temporary hit point that lasts until your next short rest.
Long rest.
Long rest.
So that means I have 7 now because you already gave me 6 in the previous session.
That seems about right. That seems likely.
Yeah, okay. It's the same day. All right. Who else wants to do anything?
Gilly will probably just go and stand uncomfortably close to sailors watching what they're doing.
All right. The man who told her about the seasickness remedy, he stares at you for a little bit and says, "Hi, my name's Samir. I'm the first mate on this ship." And he grabs your hand and shakes it vigorously.
And Gilly boots his nose.
And
of course she does.
Okay. All right. That takes him back a little bit. He's like, he still has hold of your other hand as you do this.
That's fine.
And then he pulls you in and does that like bro hug thing.
Oh, like, yeah. Like Gilly is all over that. So
like, nice. I like to this meet one. You.
This
I'm the first mate. If you have any questions, ask me.
I don't have any questions, but thanks.
He's pretty hot, actually. He's probably early 30s, maybe.
I am so glad I didn't throw up on Samir. Oh, gosh. I kind of hang on the side of the ship for a moment, trying to catch my breath, and I wipe my brow, which is kind of sweaty by now, and I just kind of like stumble, crawl back to step, and I just kind of...
Gilly offers you a good berry.
That's all we have time for this session. Marissa, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Cambrian_era.
Lisa, where can people find you?
I stream on Twitch and Mixer as SuperLisa, but you should check out my personal website, superlisa.nl, for links, exclusive clips, and to get in touch with me.
Will, where can people find you?
You can find my YouTube channel at Team Satisfaction YouTube. And I make all sorts of short films. I've made animations in the past. Generally, they're scripted, high quality professional films. And they've all got like a kind of dark comedic style to them. Generally sci-fi or horror. So if you like the sound of that and you're interested, go check it out. Leave a comment if you like what you see.
Cleo, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, where I'll be murdering Sims and fangirling over Fallout. Search for Zombie Cleo. Or don't, I'm not your mum.
I'm Deutroid, and I stream rather infrequently at twitch.tv/Deutroid. Our music is by Ian Stalker. We are a new podcast and appreciate any feedback you can leave. Also, tell your friends.
Well, no, she doesn't really shave her legs, but I feel like orcs are smooth, generally.
Yeah, but except for huge, like, armpit bushes. Like, it's a skunk.
I mean, everywhere else, apart from, like, legs and arms, I feel like is just a nightmare.